This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Look, I get where you're coming from. I do. Again, that's why I said I know that it feels scary because everyone's got FOMO today because guys are signing everywhere and the Niners aren't doing anything. But I there's no deals other than, like the Falcons had a really good center and he got a deal with the Bears. I would have supported that for the Niners, but it's super expensive. Outside of that, there's no jealousy on any deal that's gotten signed today. None. Like, who are they going to replace him with? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't want him to do this. Like, I don't want them spending money because they're supposed to spend money, or that automatically means that your roster construction is sound. That's what they did last year. I did not want them to do $30 million for Brandon Ayuk. They did. They were wrong. Don't go do it again. Like, we always want them to correct their mistakes. I think that's what they're trying to do. And so, look, if they don't do a good job of it, we'll be ready to say that come fall. But as we sit here today, I have no idea who they're replacing them with.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to draft some great offensive linemen.
Sure. And I mean, they might. And you've got 11 picks and you've got, defensive line holes. You've got offensive line questions. You need at least one receiver, if not two. You need another linebacker if Dre leaves and probably a corner. And so you start to look at all the things that you need. And I don't know if you're going to have the draft capital. And yeah, you can go out in free agency and you can still sign good quality players. And they did sign a tight end, Luke Farrell, who is going to come in and, you know, be a good blocking tight end. And that's kind of what they need. But I just look at other teams who are valuing your players, players that you drafted, and players that you've chosen not to keep, and yet you've got a very old left tackle who has one more year, maybe two more years, who knows? Coming up on being 37, and your right tackle's not very good, and you had a couple of young offensive linemen that you liked when you drafted them, and you know, Jalen Moore never was able to break through, and Aaron Banks had an up and down tenure here.
But why should you pay them now just because you drafted them? If they're not
why are they not worth keeping?
Because someone else wanted to give them an amount that the 49ers clearly feel is not the right number. Like, you do it, you have to play that way.
What are the 49ers valuing in free agency?
I don't know. I mean, so far
they are valuing.
I think actually they are valuing their lines. That's the way I look at it. I think it's wild that anybody wants to keep any of those players. They drove us nuts all year.
Right. So
why would I want any of them back, especially for a raise?
Because they're at least people who have played NFL football and they've produced.
They're gonna
Ben
get
Bartsch
people.
Played 65 snaps last year. Going, so now you're the left tackle. You're the left guard. No, get in there, Ben.
Maybe he will be, and maybe he'll perform great. He played well when he played. I don't know. Like, there are more people coming. They're not going to not have people in uniform.
I get it, but
it's a very low bar to be like, because he's played NFL football.
They're lowering the bar. He's a guy who's been productive in the offensive line, and he was here for 4 or 5 years.
Who's this, Banks?
Yeah, and he missed almost a whole year due to injury.
He had one
then
year.
He was great.
He had one year that was solid. One year solid. The rest
was
disappointing.
Yeah, when they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
And then this past year, he was a little bit in and out of the lineup.
Rookie year was a joke. And this year,
he was injured his rookie year.
Underperformed.
Yeah.
Like, and now we're going to do 80 mil? Like, dude, that to me, that's how you really handcuff yourself. When you do need to reboot your lines, if you want to spend big on mediocre, now you're really up a creek.
Well, you're already spending on mediocre, and that's your whole line is mediocre. And well, you can say that Trent Williams is, well, is he still an all-pro left tackle? Well, we'll see. Well,
yeah, when he's
37.
When he's played, he's been great.
You got a history now of ankle injuries,
sure,
so
sure.
Despite the off-field family stuff, which I will never make light of, that was a serious deal, but he also had an ankle injury. He only played about half the year last year.
Yeah.
And then your right tackle is like less than mediocre. So I'm just saying that this is not inspiring confidence in what you're out there trying to do.
I guess when you say your right tackle, my answer would be you don't even know who the right tackle is going to be.
Well, he's Colton McKivitz.
You don't know that. That you're assessing a roster that is literally being constructed in front of our eyes and is not done yet. Like, don't go try the food when it's only halfway cooked. It's going to taste like crap. Like, we're not there yet.
Well, I know what's on the menu, and I've already had that meal, and it's not very good. Colton McKivitz is on the menu.
There's another page. It's like a Cheesecake Factory. 18 pages of menu.
18 pages, no doubt.
Right? Keep going, brother. Maybe there's a draft coming. There's many more days of free agency on the way. There's a long way to go. And I can't sit here and tell you that you're wrong today. All I can sit here and tell you is I don't want Aaron Banks for $77 million. And I don't want Jalen Moore for 20 or 23 or whatever that number. I don't want that. That I know. God, I do not want the 49ers to go pay big for mediocre because they're scared. That's what they did last season, in my opinion. That's what they did last season. And that's why Brandon Ayuk is on the books now for $30 million. You spent big. You spent for great, and you got good. And then you got hurt good. So I don't know why you would want the 49ers to get into this fray.
I think that they're overcorrecting based on their bad contracts.
Okay.
And Debo was a bad restructure. You traded him, and you have a massive cap hit. The Ayuk thing, you got pressured into signing him, and I know he got hurt, but even if he didn't get hurt, that was too much money. And McCaffrey folded his arms and said, I want a new deal, and you rushed out and gave him money, and you gave Trent money, and all the rest of it, and last year went sideways for a number of different reasons, and this is a dramatic overcorrection where I think early on, it's only hasn't even been a full day, but what I'm seeing is them on the sidelines waiting for day two, day three, day four of free agency because they are so hurt over the money they've already spent. So they're wildly overcorrecting too far in the other direction.
Yeah, that's fine. I see them watching a party that I do not want them to attend. So stay outside. Cops are coming on that one. This Thursday at 5 p.m., you need to be with us because this Thursday we'll get you ready for next Thursday because next Thursday is the NCAA tournament. We're giving away what we're calling the best seat in the house. Package for two people at Splash at Thrive City. That's the new sports bar right side of Chase, and it is fantastic. The menu is great. The vibes are even better. This best seat in the house package includes a prime location, second floor of Splash, overlooking their gigantic video boards. You'll be watching all the games. You get two apps, four entrees, and a dessert. All you got to know right now, be with us Thursday for the 5 p.m. hour. More details coming then on how you can win. All right, back to Warriors, your phone calls, and Anthony Slater next on Willard and Dibbs.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hesitation, dribble, stumbles, trapped, pass to Durant. Durant goes up, blocked by Santos at the rim. Durant can't control it, out of bounds. Goes, hit the, just outside the baseline. And Golden State gets it back. What a play by Santos.
That's two incredible blocks we've seen. One by Draymond and that one by Santos was amazing.
Bay Area, it's Keith Santos here. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 957 The Game.
He was pretty great. He was pretty fantastic in that game, and he does. He makes a lot of little plays that you see and a lot that you don't that are really affecting it, and Steve Kerr was good on that after the game and straight looked at the room, and when Kuminga's name came up, said it. I can't stop playing Guy Santos. So let's dive into this a little bit further to see where the Warriors are at on all things on Willard and Dibs, and then we'll get back to your calls at 888-957-9570. Let's bring Slates in, our Warrior insider, The Athletic. Anthony, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, fellas? How are you?
We're doing good, and talking this out, and certainly would love your perspective. To what level are the Warriors in the mindset of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Because things are working pretty well right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, Jonathan Kuminga is going to play a role when he gets back. And they can mask it as minutes restriction, which, you know, I say mask it, like, you should come back. He should probably come back and play 22 or something like that, in his first couple games back. But he's not going to get zero. They're not just going to, you know, keep the same rotation that they have. He's going to eat into Guy Santos' minutes. He's going to eat into some of Moses Moody's minutes. He's going to maybe, you know, nibble away from Draymond and post and some of that. Because he's, you know, he's, we'll see if that does. He's going to have to play himself back into, like, you know, a 30 to 34 minute per night type role. And that may never happen, or, you know, or that may not happen this year. But he's not going to not role.
What does he do best that this team is currently missing? And I say currently, like, ever since Jimmy Butler has arrived on the scene, what's the one thing that Jonathan can bring that this team is currently lacking?
Yeah, I mean, you still need more guys that can score at the rim and score at the rim with force. I still think that's this team's flaw. I mean, in their the one loss that they have had with Jimmy Butler, I thought that was a big issue, you know, in that game at Dallas. And even at times when they're succeeding, you know, they're small and they're still kind of unathletic. And I do think teams with rim protectors are teams that, can wall off the paint and make some of these finishes harder, or, you know, sag off guys and force these guys into floaters or contested layups. The Warriors don't have a lot of great finishers at the rim. They now have one better one with Butler, but they need more. So that's what Kuminga does. And then I think, the ceiling of this team, has a locked in defensive version of Jonathan Kuminga, particularly on ball. I still do think, at their worst at times in Philadelphia, I know they didn't have Butler that night, but Butler's not, you don't want him to be a primary 30 minute per night guy. They got cooked by Quentin Grimes repeatedly. And I think that's part of their point of attack issue that I do think, against the best scorers in the league in the playoffs, they're going to need, you know, better individual defenders, and Kuminga, we'll see. He's been that at times of his career. He also hasn't been. I worry about him as a help defender. But I do think in lineups, which he hasn't played in yet, that have Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green behind him, if they just point and shoot him at a target, which would be a good perimeter score, there's a chance he could develop into a good individual defender. And I think they really need that.
Anthony Slater is with us, The Athletic, our Warrior insider, Willard and Dibbs. 95-7 the game. Anthony, especially because you cover the rest of the league too, I'm curious, with this new look Warrior team, what are the matchups that might still be bad for them in the Western Conference?
Oklahoma City. I think they're bad for everybody. You know, I think people are, you know, wanting to not fear the Thunder that much because they haven't proven it before. But I think they're a very well-constructed team that, you know, kind of shaved past some of their flaws that we saw last year. They got Josh Giddey off the roster. They got Hartenstein so they can kind of play bigger lineups. And I think that's a tough matchup, like I said, for anyone. And if the Warriors do get up into that 4-5 and win a 4-5 matchup, that's who would be sitting there for them in round two. As far as who they might play in the first round, you know, Denver, like Nikola Jokic against Draymond Green, or, you know, they can't play the Draymond Green, Kevon Looney lineups, right? They've given that up. That you can go back to 2022 where they went through a limited version of the Nuggets in the first round, and that's who they were starting that time. And I think when you had Looney and Draymond kind of, you know, comboing on the floor at the same time against Jokic, that was a better defensive pairing to try to hold him back. But they don't have that anymore. They can't play those two together. So that, to me, is the matchup you probably don't want the most in the first round is Denver.
Can you afford to go with a Post and Draymond center combination? And because clearly TJD is no longer in the rotation, does this pose a bigger problem with the viability of having to play Quentin Post a lot of minutes in the playoffs?
I mean, offensively, you would love to go with the Draymond Post combination because, like, you know, that really helps Draymond, a stretch center, which he very often hasn't had out there. But if we're talking, are you asking specifically in a Denver matchup?
Yeah, really for Denver, and, you know, I guess OKC is going to be a problem no matter who you put out there.
Yeah, so OKC, they started Post, and the Thunder just dragged him into SGA action, like, repeatedly, and SGA had, like, 21 in the first quarter, and they didn't start him in the second half. They almost couldn't play him. So you worry about him in that matchup for that reason. And then in the Denver matchup, Quentin Post is not Kevon Looney defensively. He cannot – you do not want him on Nikola Jokic. So I would be concerned about him in that matchup. Now, I think part of the reason you see Quentin Post a lot of times to open second and fourth quarters is because they like to get him on the floor when they, you know, the star scorer is typically off the floor. Nikola Jokic, for example, you know, typically is off the floor to start the second and fourth quarter. So I think you'll see him in those pockets of the game in those particular matchups.
Anthony Slater with us here. Hey, back to Kuminga. What the hell's going on? Like, come on.
Yeah.
What's going on? What is taking so long? Something's up.
I'll tell you. On the road trip, the soft target I had been hearing was Charlotte, which was the middle of that road trip, the third game. He'd been playing 3-on-3, scrimmage and all that, after Philly. And again, it's not like I'm just getting fed as much detailed information from the medical side. I have to go with what I see, and what I saw after a workout in Philly was, you know, the ankle seemed to be bothering him. He was kind of grimacing, holding it a little bit, and talking to the training staff. And then later that night, I entered the locker room and he's got his foot in an ice bucket. He did not play that night, but he was icing his foot post game, his ankle, we should say. And, you know, there's been some residual swelling and, you know, Steve Kerr's kind of talked about it. They want him to feel his full burst considering how he plays. And, you know, again, I had heard this off target after that was Charlotte. That was right before this workout or right after this workout I'm talking about. They didn't green light him for Charlotte. They hadn't green light him the rest of the trip. And, you know, from my understanding, you're very likely to see him soon. I could definitely see it Thursday night after these two off days. He gets in maybe a full practice Wednesday when the team should get in a full practice. I think you might see him Thursday. It has taken longer than they hoped it would, but it's not like there's some type of setback where they've shut him down. He's still scrimmaging. He's still doing 3-on-3s. He's still getting closer. It's just, if you want to consider it a setback or not, I would say it's probably been pushed back a week longer than they thought it would.
Have you gotten any sense for his eagerness or his, maybe feeling not the contract pressure, but just the overall wantonness to get back out on the court and, show the organization again who he was before he got hurt?
Yeah, I mean, I chatted with him briefly after the Brooklyn game. You could tell he's like, he's very hopeful of getting back in enough time with the runway. You mentioned maybe the word anxiousness. I mean, they're playing so well. He wants to be a part of it. He also, he left at a strange time where it was probably like, the best six-game stretch of his career. It felt like he was finally getting, a runway and a role that he wanted. He was getting praised, by Steve Kerr, and then he disappeared for a while. And I think that's part of what's going on here is he wants his body to feel 100% right. He doesn't want to come back as a rusty version of himself or a limited version of himself. And then suddenly, what are we talking about? If he struggles his first two games and Gui Santos is playing well, what's the radio segments? What are we writing about? What are the post-game press conferences going to be about? We all know that. He knows that. And then you add into that what you mentioned in the question, like the contract situation, understandably, is obviously, looming over the top of all this.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. What do you think has happened with the contract situation and how are the Warriors going to play it?
It's restricted free agency, so they hold a level of, team control here. It's some of it I'm sure is going to depend on not only how he plays, but how the team finishes their season, because Joe Lacob has been very outwardly confident that they're willing to pay Jonathan Kuminga long term, the type of value that he wants and that, he'll command on the market. But for them to commit as much money as that would mean to, Kuminga plus Butler, Draymond, Steph, that's going to take them up towards second apron territory, and I think they're only willing to do that if this looks like a core four that's like a contender, and I don't think we're going to know that until April, May, June this year. So if they win, and he's a big part of winning, he's going to get, probably somewhat near his max, which his max is only like 38-ish per year next year, or 38 as a starting salary. But if he struggles, if his role is limited, if they flame out in the first round and it doesn't look like a core that you want to pay, an exorbitant luxury tax fee for moving forward, then I think there is going to be a lot deeper conversations, not only about Kuminga's future, but about the future of like all the big salary pieces on this team.
Yeah, and you get the three big ones you mentioned, and plus, quietly Moses jumps up to 11.5, and Buddy's making a clean 9 and change, and so those all start to add up as you get into those constrictive aprons. But when you look at this team, Anthony, over the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks since Jimmy has come, is the viability of them making a run, is it becoming more and more real, or is it just, those of us who are super fans trying to put too much into this?
Both, all. they're better than I thought they would be. I think they're better than anybody, even probably internally, they believed they would, because if they knew Jimmy Butler would make this type of impact, probably would have made the trade earlier, right?
Right.
And probably wouldn't have flirted with Kevin Durant and otherwise, because at this point, this looked like the perfect move, and I'm not sure they all knew that at this point. But I'm not ready to looking at who they play and limited stretches still as well. Sure, the profile of this 12-game stretch, when you look at offensive rating, defensive rating, that screams title contender. Too small of a sample against too poor of a group of opponents. They still have none. No Boston games, no Cleveland games, no Oklahoma City games. And by the way, we're not going to see them play those three the rest of the year. I'm not ready to just declare them in that group. So anybody that's saying they're going to win the championship, you're either Draymond Green or I think you're still maybe slightly certainly a lot more threatening than they were, much more.
Okay, well, hold on. Let's dig into that. Do you still think the idea of title contention for the Warriors is crazy?
Yeah, but maybe that's just part of me, just like not wanting to believe the straight rounds of it is it, like, when I see what Cleveland is, when I see what Cleveland is doing to teams, when I see what Boston can do to teams, Oklahoma City, when I know what, you know, Jokic and that Denver team when fully stocked is. But, you know, by saying I still don't believe in it, you know, because I didn't believe in it going into the 2022 playoffs. And I certainly, you go back to that March when they had lost, you know, they had had that hot start in 22, 18-2, I think it was. Stretch, you know, that they had lost. I'm just kind of ballparking it here, but they're maybe like 7-17 over a 24-game stretch. And I was definitely like, oh, this team is nowhere near title contention. And they didn't even make a big midseason trade to change the team.
Right.
So, sure, you know, outside chance. What is, like, percentage chance, right? I think Daryl Morey's whole thing is if you have a 5% chance, you go for it. 5% feels like reasonable to say they have. So then, yeah, I guess they're an outside, you know, title threat.
Okay, what if now that's asking your opinion, but you had said a minute ago, like, if you think they can win, you're either Draymond Green or a big super fan. Do you think that they believe that they can win?
I think that the way they've talked is more, you know, get us in a series with one of these guys that, you know, Anthony Slater says that they, you know, they don't have a shot against the Thunder or whatever, you know, so, whatever pundit says that. And, like, you know, if they can steal one of those first two on the road and then suddenly it's 1-1 back in Chase Center for a game three and we're all like, look, they might be the favorites in this series. Like, to me, they're talking more like series to series. But, yeah, like, yeah, I think Draymond Green, deep in his heart, believes there's not a team out there that could beat this team 4-7. I've known Jimmy Butler now for 2-3 weeks. He thinks similarly. He has a very Draymond Green mindset of get them on a playoff floor and you're not going to beat them 4 out of 7 times. Steph Curry, certainly, you know, if he's hot, you know, at the right time. You know, maybe you're talking me into it. I don't know. But yes, they believe that they're a bigger threat than I probably do.
What have you made of Jimmy Butler and his arrival in terms of just the locker room and the vibes and what he's brought to the team, mostly off the court?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like an assertiveness, confidence level, which you've seen. The IQ is probably something that wasn't being mixed in enough. Like, you know, it's the supercharged version of the stuff that Steve Kerr loves, right, when he plays a lot of these players, even Gui Santos right now. It's like, because, oh, he's a connector. He cuts well. He does this. Well, Jimmy Butler does not all that in, like, a superstar 6'7" body. And that just that do-everything game, that ability to kind of mold into what a particular game needs, be super physical, get downhill, pass well. You know, I think there's going to be moments in the playoffs where they're getting killed in a point-of-attack situation, and they're going to go, hey, Jimmy Butler, use your energy right now for the next 5 minutes guarding Luka Doncic for 5 minutes, guarding Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and he'll just suddenly turn into their point-of-attack defender, where, you don't want that for 25 minutes every night. But his ability to kind of do everything, you know, really, I think, bumps this team's, you know, ceiling upward in so many ways, because on any given night, he'll just be what they need.
Anthony, thank you so much for coming on. Any concerns with a young but kind of getting better Portland team tonight?
Well, you said it, kind of getting better. So yeah. Sure, you know, I saw the line was like 12, I think. I was like, oh, that's a little high. You know, they've won some games. They've threatened. You know, I think Denny Avdia is questionable. He's kind of a quietly important piece for them. So if he doesn't play tonight, you know, that's a blow for them. But yeah, it could be challenging. You know, Portland could certainly stay in this game.
Anthony, great stuff, man. Thank you so much.
All right, fellas.
Okay, Anthony Slater, The Athletic, joining us on Willard and Dibs.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Dre Greenlaw just signed with the Broncos.
Yeah.
I'm going to let that marinate for a second.
Yeah.
Dre Greenlaw is signing with the Denver Broncos, along with Talanoa Hufanga. Both of those defenders leave the 49ers in free agency and go to the Denver Broncos. So, as I had said earlier, and I told you guys this earlier today, I don't think the 49ers have lost anybody they wanted to keep. That sentence changes now. Now they did. Well, now they just lost somebody they wanted to keep.
It depends on how much they want to pay, because we've seen these other contracts that have happened, and whether it was Jalen Moore or Aaron Banks, and I'm sure that they wanted to keep those players, but not at those prices. And so we'll see what Dre Greenlaw and the contract actually works out to be, because I would imagine the number that he's going to get is going to be a lot bigger than what the 49ers would have wanted to pay. And I think it's going to wind up being north of $10 million a year.
That's my
best guess is going to be that Denver's going to give him a much bigger deal than what the 49ers wanted
to do. Well, I've wondered what this was really actually all about all along, the Dre Greenlaw thing, because remember the social media stuff at the end with the wives getting together and Fred Warner's wife and Dre's wife, and they're throwing almost like what looked like a going away party, but there's tears and everything, and they're all begging and hoping that they'll stay and a miracle happens, and they know stuff that's going on that we don't, obviously, so I don't know what was being shared, but we had plenty of reports as recently as this morning where the Niners were trying really hard to keep Dre Greenlaw, but it was going to be hard because there was a lot of competition for him, and so it was always seen as less than 50-50, and now it becomes reality. But I don't know that this particular one was just about money and years. I'm sure that's always a driving force behind it, but I've also heard, and I'm sure you have too, that idea that Dre really wanted kind of to be the leader of a linebacker room.
Sure.
He wanted to be the dog, and you can't do that here. You can't do that here because Fred Warner plays here.
Yep. Yeah. That's a fair thing to ask for, and I'll have to wait and see what the money and the years are like, but it seems to me more and more throughout the course of this day that these players that were 49ers are going out there and getting big contracts elsewhere, and the 49ers don't want to pay that. And I'm sure if they would have given Dre Greenlaw a same offer, if not even a little bit more, he probably would have put aside the desire to be the big dog in the room, because he and Fred, as a tandem, they had a special run here. And you think about the history of linebackers here, you know, Patrick and Navarro and the great things that they have done, and you had Fred and Dre, and it just is sad that it ended the way it did with a torn Achilles, and then, what, he played two quarters this year?
Yeah, not much, and had to leave kind of with, I don't know if I want to call it injured, but concerns around his physical health in both of the games. Ian Rappaport is weighing in with a report on the money for Dre Greenlaw, which is of interest based on what you just said.
Yep.
3 years, $35 million.
Okay. Yeah.
So A, yes, north of $10 million, and B, yes, north of 1 year. Now, I don't know where the guarantees fall on all of that. You can always get out of these deals early in the NFL, but everything I had heard about the Niners is that they were kind of in that one-year prove-it deal kind of a situation, which maybe means you could sign him to a two-year with kind of a parachute, but the fact that the Broncos are going to go to almost $12 million a year in 3 years, that probably does the deal.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the same thing you could say about the Aaron Banks contract, and you know whether or not he's a mediocre player. He was somebody they drafted, and if the offer comes in at 70-plus million and the Niners are thinking, no, we'd rather have Ben Bartsch making $1 million, then yeah, it becomes a personnel move and also a financial move, and I do look at the 49ers' situation, and they're not in cap hell by any stretch, but they're in a little bit of cap difficulty with all the dead money they have and a quarterback that they need to pay, so you can't just start shelling out basically $12 million a year for linebacker number two when linebacker number one is top three in money already.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be straight with you on this one here for a moment, just as a fan. This one hurts.
Oh, it hurts. No doubt.
Hurts. Yeah. Nothing.
Mooney Ward, I loved
him.
We
knew that.
He was great.
I almost won it for him because he was in hell this year.
And his wife was like, I don't want to go back to California because of the personal baggage. And I fully understand that. And even Hufanga, who was drafted here and we loved him. And the Hufanga, the Joe Buck call. And, you know, he was also hurt. And it's like, you know, you drafted his replacement. And the writing was kind of on the wall there as well. But we all were kind of holding out hope that they were going to find a way to make this work so that Dre Greenlaw could still be a Niner. 57 was going to still be in the red and gold, and now that's done.
Yeah, although it's interesting because I sit here and say from an emotional standpoint, this is the first one today that hurts. But if I were to define what the 49ers are trying to do this offseason is be unemotional, I think last year they got emotional. This year, they feel they need to be unemotional because last year being emotional hurt them.
Yeah, you can look at it that way.
And you're saying that it's an overcorrection, and I hear you, and it may end up being that. But I do think that we, to some degree, like we have to get used to this if you're a fan of an NFL team, there really isn't room for sentimentality, especially in the NFL. There just isn't. It's too physical of a sport. Things happen too fast. Great players turn bad really, really quickly. And so you have to be unemotional, and sometimes that stinks, and they might be wrong. They might be wrong. Dre Greenlaw may go to Denver and turn in to the same guy he used to be. But they also, they might be right. We may be looking at bad legs and someone who doesn't look the same when not playing next to Fred Warner. I really don't know. But I'm not going to lie. As a 49er fan, this is a kick in the shin.
It sucks. And just, you know, as a 49er fan, this day has kind of been a gigantic bummer because every breaking news sounder has been so-and-so is signing somewhere else. And you haven't had that real, all right. And now what? We're kind of holding our breath for Joey Bosa. We're going to wait for day three of free agency and Joey's going to take less and come play with his brother. Cue up the Steiny drop. Yay!
No. I mean, yeah, it doesn't fire me up as much as maybe some others. But again, I'm not going to sit here and rip who they're bringing in until I know who they're bringing in.
Right.
I'm not going to rip their draft until I see their draft. Even then.
You got to wait three years. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. If you got any reaction to Dre Greenlaw, the Bronco, fire away, 888-957-9570, but we'll also continue to get you ready for the Warrior game tonight and continue to get into that. So your phone calls on all of that coming up next and into the 5 o'clock hour on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
It's funny, right? Like, Deebo Samuel got traded, what was that, a week ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Deebo Samuel got traded a week ago. Sort of feel like we've been prepped for it. So, at the beginning of the year, if you had told me that Deebo Samuel was going to leave for a fifth-round pick, I think people would have been like, hold the bleep on. What?
Yeah.
Shut the front door.
Totally.
Then we get prepped for it, and a boombox guy plays for the Washington Commanders, and there's kind of like, okay, there wasn't a terribly large response. And then, you know, now today, I don't know. What is the 49er fan response to this? Dre Greenlaw, if you're just joining us, has joined the Denver Broncos in free agency, 3 years, $35 million. And whether this is a smart thing or the exact opposite, in terms of the way the Niners are playing day one, like only time will tell. Largely I'm glad that they're sitting out a day where contracts that are being handed out to me look too high. They just don't look like smart moves. But then the view from 10,000 feet, I can agree with you a little bit and say, well, like, it's not great. It's not great that you're just kind of like sitting there with holes getting created on your roster and not knowing exactly who you're going to fill them with. Because I don't know about you. I think the question that pops into a Niner fan head is, are you rebuilding and we just don't know it? Like, I said this to you last week. The one thing I don't ever want to hear from execs with an organization for which I root, I don't ever want to hear you talk about saving money.
How about breaking even?
No thanks.
I know that sets you off.
No
thanks. Shout out the Johnsons and the Giants.
Well, the Johnsons do and say all kinds of things that I don't prefer. But
yeah,
I don't want to hear owners, general managers, or anyone else with teams talk about money. I just don't want to hear it. And it doesn't mean that you don't have financial issues. Sure, you've got rules, contracts, I don't want you out in the street throwing money into the air either. But as a fan, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear you have a press conference where you go, all right, we got goals for this year. We're going to try to save some money. We're going to reboot. We're going to get younger. These are all trigger phrases that mean the same thing. And I don't want to hear it.
It basically means that we're not that sold out to go out there and win. And I do think that you can do a couple of things and still be competitive, especially in the National Football League. But I can't help to think a couple of different things. One, they have done poorly in some contracts of late, and they do have a lot of dead money. They've got about $50 million against the cap for players who will not play football for them. That's bad business. And the other piece is the report that the Niners are exploring selling a 10% stake in the team,
yeah,
which the valuation is at $9 billion, which means if you've got $900 million, you too can be a York. You can own part of the 49ers if you've got $900 million. So I don't think that the York family is hard up and short on money, but it is interesting that you're going to sell off a 10% stake and you're now not really out there spending a lot of money in free agency, even though you do have some cap room. It strikes me as a little bit odd. And all of this, for me, Mark, is set against the reality of your upcoming schedule next year, which is not a very difficult schedule. Now, we don't know the order of opponents, but you are playing a last-place schedule, so you might be able to save some money, shed some salaries, and still be competitive against some of the teams that you're going to be facing.
It doesn't mean that
anyone's a pushover, but you got the Giants, and they don't look to be world beaters. And
no.
You've got, you know, the Bears, who are getting better quietly day after day, but
saving grace could be that.
Could be.
The saving grace could be that. Maybe they do. Maybe they have enough to win most of these games and win the division anyway. I mean, the Seahawks just got rid of two of their biggest names. I know they replaced him with Sam Darnold today. Maybe that'll work. Maybe it won't. I don't know who he's throwing the ball to. He's got Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, and what else? I have no idea. So they're rebooting. The Cardinals don't ever really scare me. The Rams look fun, but I don't know exactly how that's going to play out. They've got a good quarterback and good wide receivers. Outside of that, that's a really young defense that wasn't very impressive last year. Got a little bit better in the end. Okay, not a terribly difficult division, not a very difficult schedule at all. But I'm sorry, dude. I don't want to go into a season yelling about that. Like, yay, we got an easy schedule, an easy division. That makes you the Bucks. You're not going to win anything that matters. Like, I want to know how you're going to beat the Lions and the Eagles and the Commanders.
Well, I mean,
right now you're helping the Commanders.
Right
you
now,
got Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, right now you're hoping that you can beat the likes of the Titans and the Bears and the Browns and the Colts and the Giants and the Saints. That's all. Those are all on your schedule.
Yeah.
So you win those games, you split your division, you're 9-8, and you're probably eking it into the wild card, but right now, it doesn't even feel like on this day, if you run down the list of losses, and I know that with Keith Givens, Kevin Givens. They signed Kevin Givens.
Right.
So that is news that just broke during our last break. So you've got a blocking tight end, and you've got a depth piece on your D-line. Meanwhile, you lose how many different starters? Well, you lost
Hufanga, Charvarius Ward.
Yeah, that's three right there. Banks would be four. And then Jalen Moore's a backup. Dobbs a backup. So, and you got rid of Malik Collins and Javon Hargrave. So there's a lot more going out than is coming in. Oh, Patrick Taylor Jr. also signed to stay on a one-year deal to be RB4.
Okay, but hold on a second. What if I threw this at you? What if I threw this at you? Okay? Just for conversation's sake, okay? All those names you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Who are leaving. How many of them produced last year?
By produced, you mean like...
The way you would want them to produce.
I would say Aaron Banks did. He's a guy who played almost every snap And
okay, so by producing,
where are we putting the bar? Like,
produce.
Charvarius Ward.
It's no different
Charvarius than Ward produced. He was injured. He had personal tragedy. He had some good games, but.
I disagree with you on that.
Well, okay.
I disagree with you.
Like Javon Hargrave, he got hurt. Right. So, and in the games he played, which was two or three of them.
I guess my point is.
Malik Collins produced.
Yeah, but I know he's going to be released. He hasn't even been released yet.
Right.
But the point is this. If you liked the 49ers going into last year, I know they went 6-11, but they were coming off of a Super Bowl appearance. How many shows did we spend talking about the blown leads, the games that they had? I still think that they, in a way, they had the makings, at least, of a good football team last year. And those who produced in that situation, like over the last year and a half of 49er football, who did they lose? Who produced? I mean, like guys where you went, ooh, that was a good year. You played well this year.
Right. Well, who played well last year is the
counterpoint. I'll give you, okay.
It's a list of about five people.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair at all.
I would say Brock, Kittle,
okay.
Pooney,
okay.
Fred Warner, and... Sure.
Juwan Jennings,
Nick Bosa, Juwan Jennings,
Renardo Green, Malik Mustafa, Diamador Lenore. Well, absolutely than five people.
Those guys, the last three, Diamador Lenore missed a few handful of games late in the year, and Mustafa was pretty good.
Lenore.
I mean, the rookie, okay. So we hold him to a rookie standard.
Yeah, right? He was really good, dude. He's really, really exciting, young player. And Lenore was fantastic. Dude, he was restaurant quality last year.
Yeah.
I thought he was fantastic.
I'll give you all eight of those. So, eight out of 53.
I mean, again.
And go 6-11.
Just for a counterpoint and a discussion point, I don't think the Niners have lost anybody today who were there like, that guy played really well last year.
Yeah, but the point is that last year was just last year. It doesn't mean that they aren't good football players because they didn't have a good year.
Who did they lose that was good the year before that?
Charvarius Ward was very good the year before.
He was.
And
I think we've all been in agreement that that has been telegraphed is a good thing. If you want to, it's unfortunate.
Sure.
But Charvarius Ward, we've known for a while now that this is his last year with the Niners. So I don't even know if there's a conversation there. Dre Greenlaw, to me, is the name. Greenlaw was
Elijah Mitchell was great last year. Not this year, but the year before. He was hurt the whole year.
He was great.
He was RB2. He was a very solid contributor. Yeah. He did what Patrick Mason did this year.
You mean Jordan Mason? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Eli Mitchell did 2 years ago what Jordan Mason did this last year. But yeah, that one doesn't sting either. Again, just for conversation's sake, without knowing who's replacing these players, I am not having any sort of an emotional reaction or even an X's and O's reaction to any of these except for Dre Greenlaw. And even that one, you're like...
That's emotional more than it is X's and O's.
No,
the guy played two quarters.
Right, but again, we went even to the year before that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that we know that Dre Greenlaw, if he looks like Dre Greenlaw, is a great player. That's a great player. I don't know if any of these other guys have great player in him. I know that Ward did at a certain point in his career. He was great, or at least really good. I don't know if that's ever coming again. And I don't think that applies to anybody else, you know? So I get it. I get it. Today's not a great day. I'm not over here saying that. It's not a great day. But I also, outside of Greenlaw, I don't see any contract that if I were running the Niners and you brought it to me and you went, do you want to match that? I'd be like, no, I don't. No thanks. That's what I would have said to all of these.
Yeah, well, I wonder then, we can just sit back and wait and see what they replace it with. And, you know, you're replacing Ward with, you know, Green. Okay, he was good. He had a good year last year. Can he step up and be the opposite starting corner and be a guy who can be as good as Charvarius Ward was at his best? You hope so. Can Mustafa replace Talanoa Hufanga? At times last year, he sure did look good. He brought a lot of thump, and we'll see if he can be that guy to step up in year two and be as good as Hufanga was at his best, because last year, all these names that we're mentioning, they were part of a 6-11 team. So We could talk about how great all these guys were, but it didn't lead to winning.
Yeah, no, of course not. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily drive the bus when each of them are coming to you with a free agent contract. If Aaron Banks comes to me and says that I have an offer in hand from the Packers for $77 million, I'll shake his hand and say congratulations. Right. It's cold there. Buy a jacket.
I mean, he can afford a jacket.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.